Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Consider this interesting phrase from Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. And not holding the head, out from whom all the body grows with the growth of God. Well, as believers, we read such verses, and surely none of us would disagree. But do we really stop to consider what is it to hold the head? And why does it say holding the head and not holding Christ? Well, the answer is that most of us take the Bible for granted. Of course, we have our special and favorite passages that we often quote and understand to some extent. But for the most part, we skim over, accepting what it says, but not taking the time or the interest to dig and probe and pray over the Word. Well, today we will dig and probe and even pray concerning this crucial and important section of Colossians. And joining us for this endeavor, Bob Danker. Bob, glad to have you back.
It's good to be back, Chris, and I do believe we have a wonderful life study that we're considering in this broadcast. And you're right, Chris, we really cannot take any part of the Bible for granted. We really need to dig into it, and especially we need to pray so that we can enter into the real significance of every phrase in the Bible, especially in the epistles of Paul, which are so deep and so rich in knowing Christ and experiencing Christ.
Bob, I think what we're seeing is that these epistles of Paul that you said, they're really our roadmap, and he becomes our tour guide, in a sense, leading us into this new unexplored territory for us, and that is the experience of Christ as our all-in-all, the all-inclusive Christ. It's a picture that we'll, I think, carry with us the rest of our days, this picture of Christ in Colossians, isn't it?
Oh, it is a tremendous picture, even a stupendous picture, I would say, and we really need to be uplifted in our view of Christ. And we need to be expanded in our experience of Christ. And Paul is, as you said, he is our guide.
Well, we somewhat challenged our audience today to really get into this verse, Bob, so we better put it into context for them, because I think we'll see that the verses around it are also very important. Let's begin with verse 16. We're in Colossians 2. Let no one therefore judge you in eating and in drinking, or in respect of a feast, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no one defraud you, not holding the head, out from whom all the body, being richly supplied and knit together, grows with the growth of God. Bob, in previous life studies, we've had many examples of how Witness Lee refused to take the Bible for granted, and we're really going to see that again today, aren't we?
We are, Chris. This is a real hallmark of Witness Lee and his ministry. I'm always amazed at the breadth and the depth of his knowledge of the Bible. And many times I ask myself, how could he understand things in such a thorough and deep way? Well, I think the answer is just as you have said. He didn't take anything for granted. He probed into it. He dug into it,
yes,
to get below the surface of every verse, nearly every phrase in the Bible, and he prayed. No one can understand the Bible just by his natural intelligence. You know, the only way to understand the real significance of the Scriptures is to contact the Spirit in our spirit by means of prayer. And this is exactly what Brother Lee did, and this is what we need to do so that we can enter into the same realization as he had.
Okay, let's join him for this first segment. This is marvelous.
We Christians, including me, no exception. All of us, when reading or studying the Bible, we so easily take verses for granted. Holding the head, just holding the head. That's it, holding the head. We never would dig into it. We take verse after verse for granted. But by the mercy of the Lord, if we would dig a little bit, we would say, what is to hold the head? And how to hold the head? You will get the light. this phrase, holding ahead, was a big bothering to me for a long period of time. Years, I got bothered. What is to hold ahead? Not doctrinally, but experientially. What is to hold ahead? Paul firstly tells us that Christ is the reality of all the positive things for us to enjoy. Then he jumps from this to a higher level, telling us that Christ, this very Christ, who is the reality of all the positive things, is the head of the body. So for us to know what is to hold the head, we must know what is to enjoy Christ as the reality of all positive things daily. All the time we have to enjoy Christ. When I enjoy him, I hold him. No other way to hold anything. So fast, so to the uttermost, than enjoying something. Have you seen Christ being the reality of all the positive things? This is the ground floor. The head is top floor. Paul jumped from the ground floor to the top floor. From Christ being everything to us for our enjoyment. And the ground floor, we are here enjoying Christ. Oh, I just enjoy Christ. Christ is my food. Christ is my drink. Christ is my air. Christ is my everything. I just enjoy him. If you enjoy him in such a way, right away, a special, spiritual, heavenly, divine elevator uplifts you to the top. Then you hold him.
Well, Bob, he just introduced us to the special, spiritual, heavenly, divine elevator lifting us from the ground floor to the top floor. Bob, make this connection. We read the verses prior to verse 19, this phrase, holding the head. We read these verses, and the key is here, but I'd like you to make and reinforce this connection between enjoying Christ and holding the head.
Well, Chris, to do this, we have to take care of the context of verse 19, which talks about holding the head. The context is, in the previous verses, it says there that Christ is the reality of everything in our daily life, our weekly life, our monthly life, our yearly life. He's the reality of our food, our drink, our Sabbath, our new moons, and all the feasts. So he's the reality of all the positive things.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul says that those who attempt to defraud us of the enjoyment of Christ are not holding the head. So here we have a relationship is drawn here between holding the head and enjoying Christ as the reality of every positive thing. And by digging into this portion of the word and praying, Brother Lee saw the connection. And now we need to see the connection. What is the connection? He brought it out so well. How can we hold the head? The way to hold the head is just to enjoy Christ as the reality of every positive thing. This is the way to hold him as the head. So Witness Lee pointed out here that when we enjoy Christ as the reality of so many things, we get on a spiritual, heavenly, and divine elevator, and we're uplifted to the top floor. As Paul points out here, we find out that this Christ whom we are enjoying is the head of the body. He's not just Christ in a general way. He's the head of the body. And this word, the head, brings us into the realm of the body of Christ. It brings us out of the realm of being individuals, enjoying Christ in an individualistic way, into the realm of the body of Christ.
Bob, that was sort of the second rhetorical question that we incorporated into our opening today, our introduction. Why did the Bible not just say holding Christ there, but as you just pointed out, specifically holding the head? If we go to Ephesians chapter 1, we see a somewhat similar or parallel passage. Let me read a couple of verses here. This will help us with the question that Witness Lee will touch in this coming section. Beginning at verse 19 in chapter 1, "And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? according to the operation of the might of his strength, which he caused to operate in Christ, raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavenlies. And he subjected all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Okay, he'll develop this for us as we join him for our second segment.
Why, when Paul jumped up from the ground floor to the top floor, he changed the title of Christ? Firstly, he said Christ was the body, the reality of all the passive things. And then eventually, he changed the title from the body, the reality, to the head. Why he didn't say holding Christ? Why he said holding the head? Listen, dear saints, whenever you daily and continually enjoy the Lord Jesus, I tell you, right away, you have the consciousness of the body. When you enjoy the Lord continually, you could never remain individualistic. Whatever you enjoy of Christ, that is something of the head. The very Christ whom you enjoy daily and continually, eventually, is the head. The head, he will make you very much body conscious. The more you enjoy him, the more you have a deep desire of the body. I got bothered by these verses. When I was digging, I got bothered. How Paul composed this way? Why just in these two or three verses, he jumped? He jumped from the ground floor to top floor, from Christ being the reality of passive things for enjoyment to Christ being the head. Why? Hallelujah. The light came. Why? Because the more we enjoy Christ as our enjoyment, the more we become body conscious. Why? Because the very one whom we enjoy as everything to us is really the head of the body. Then you realize you cannot enjoy him in an individualistic way. You must enjoy him in a corporate way. You must enjoy him as a member in the body. So it says what? So it says, out from whom? That means the head. All the body. It is the enjoyment of Christ that, you know what? That keeps all of us, the members of the body, one. It is the enjoyment of Christ that keeps all of us, the members of the body, one. The more you enjoy Christ, the more you would love the others. The more you enjoy Christ, the more you will love everyone in the church, even the one whom you do not love to the uttermost. If you would enjoy Christ hourly, continually, the next day you come to the meeting, when you see him or you see her, you will say, this is a dear one. Oh, it is so precious. Everyone is pretty. Everyone is precious. Everyone is so dear to me. Every face is so lovable. You just love everyone. And you realize you are just a little member among so many members in the body. The enjoyment of Christ. Make Christ the head to you. Christ can never be head to you without enjoyment.
Bob Witnessley came to this portion of the life study. Obviously, he was not consumed with doctrine and teaching. He was 100% on an experiential plane and laboring to bring us all into that same plane. There's a dynamic here that he described that is an outflow, an outcome, spontaneous of our enjoyment of Christ related to the body. Why don't you pick it up right here?
Well, Chris, we have to realize that we always are accustomed to thinking of ourselves and even our relationship to the Lord in individualistic terms. I enjoy Christ. for myself.
Right.
But actually, the enjoyment of Christ, as Paul points out here, is not an individualistic matter. It is a matter related to the body of Christ, which is the corporate Christ, the very body that is composed of all the believers as members. Our enjoyment of Christ, as Paul points out here, makes Christ the head to us. If we don't enjoy Christ, we would not be conscious that Christ is the head. We may have many, many concepts about Christ, but our concept will not be that he is the head.
Right.
And of course, whenever we are conscious of the head, we should be conscious of the body, because the head and the body are one.
Right.
Whenever we enjoy the head, we should have a concern for the body, and we should realize, I am just a member of the body. I'm living here as a believer in Christ, not for myself, but I'm living in the body and for the body. And I'm related to all the other believers. In fact, I love all the other believers. I love to be together with them. I like to enjoy Christ together with others, not just by myself. And I like to enjoy Christ for a purpose, and that is, as we will see, for the building up of the body of Christ. This is God's goal. God's goal is not just to have a group of individuals, even individuals who enjoy Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But God's goal is to obtain a body, a corporate entity that satisfies his heart's desire, that expresses him in this universe. And so Paul, in this part of the word, brings us into the realm of the body with Christ as the head. This really brings us into God's heart.
And it also really matches our own experience, doesn't it? We may not have been able to verbalize it in such a way, but there's something about the enjoyment of Christ that draws you, attracts you to the other members and their portion of Christ. And you get an appreciation of them in Christ as members in the body that outside of this enjoyment, we really don't have.
We just don't have it, Chris. We are so individualistic and self-conscious. We do not have the consciousness of others, and we don't have the capacity to love others and appreciate others, as you pointed out.
Hmm. Bob, for our final section, I just want to remind our listeners, I read these verses in Ephesians that go along very much with the passage in Colossians we're considering. Not only does it put the matter of headship into the context of the body, the church, but also in those verses, particularly in verse 20, it says, which he caused to operate in Christ in raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand. In other words, his becoming head over all things is in the context of his resurrection and even his ascension. Let's go to Witness Lee for our last portion.
Chapter 1, verse 18 tells us, Christ to be the head of the body in resurrection. In resurrection, he is the head of the body. He was not the head of the body before resurrection. And Ephesians 1 tells us, Christ was made the head of all things after he was resurrected, and after he ascended to heaven. When he ascended to the heavens after resurrection, in the heavens, God the Father made him the head of all things, the head over all things to the church. So his headship is altogether a matter in resurrection. Listen, when you enjoy Christ, spontaneously, the enjoyment of Christ will bring you into resurrection. The enjoyment of Christ makes you not only no more natural, but also no more earthly. The enjoyment of Christ makes you in resurrection and in ascension. That means the enjoyment of Christ makes you heavenly. Now, what is to hold the head? You have to say, to hold the head is to be in the heavens. To be in the heavens is to hold the head. Now, could you follow me? All these are heavenly language. Not only so. Christ as the head is in heavens. And how could we be in the heavens? How could you go there? It was hard for the mankind to land at the moon. Now, how could you land at the third heaven? Now, you all have to see, in resurrection, as the head of the body. Christ is the life-giving spirit. This is why I give you this verse. 2 Corinthians 3:17a. Now the Lord is the spirit. If he is only the head, not the spirit, I tell you, we are through. We are through. We just cannot touch him. And we cannot hold him because we just cannot reach him. You see? But, hallelujah, he is not only the head. Hallelujah. Function-wise, positionally speaking, he is the head. But, experientially speaking, he is the life-giving spirit. He is the spirit. Not only so, 2 Timothy 4:22 says, this very Lord, who is the Spirit, is now with your spirit. Amen. Isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
In the heavens, he's the head. In you, in your spirit, he's the spirit. Now, what is to hold the head? Firstly, to hold the head is to enjoy Christ. Secondly, to hold the head is to be in the heavens. Thirdly, to hold the head is to be in your spirit.
Bob, I thought he posed a very profound question and then went about answering it for us. How could this Christ, who's resurrected, ascended in the heavens, really become the one that we can enjoy and touch and thereby hold him as the head? And he had a practical way, didn't he?
Yes, he did, Chris. Actually, this very Christ who is the head of the church as the body and who is actually the resurrection itself, this one today is the life-giving spirit. And even though he is in ascension in the heavens, in the third heavens, he is also in our spirit. So the way to enjoy him is just to be in our spirit where he is. To contact him, to just enjoy his unsearchable riches, the unsearchable riches of what he is. Spontaneously, by enjoying Christ as the Spirit in our spirit, we are in resurrection, and we are also in the third heavens. In a sense, this is the real elevator that elevates us well beyond the moon. It elevates us right into the third heavens, even though physically, we're not traveling there. Inwardly, in our spirit, we can be in the third heavens with the Lord because he is the Spirit in our spirit. On one hand, he's in the third heavens. On the other hand, he's right within us in our human regenerated spirit, and he is the life-giving spirit so available to us to experience and enjoy. All of this, of course, is for the body, for the building up of the body, by the growth of the body. With the growth of God.
Boy, Bob, so much here today. I wish we could squeeze more minutes out of our clock, but it's unrelenting, and it has said that's all today, brothers.
It's marvelous.
It is. We'll come back to this point, I'm sure, in coming programs, and I always look forward to having you here whenever you're able.
It's always good to be with you, Chris.
For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.